God is good. I don't think this Bible has been around here for a long time, but I brought it today. It's so big. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. What Mama said to us this morning is so right. Please do make sure you have a hard copy. You know, get a King James Bible or get an Amplified Bible. Hold it dear to yourself. You need the Word of God. Amen? You can't fool around with it. There are those that are agents of the devil that are busy fooling around with the scriptures. Every time you're updating your Bible, they're changing stuff. No kidding. Even some of your translations, there are verses that are removed. So you can't fool around with this stuff. I've been telling you for decades now about the importance of having the Word, get a hold of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's extremely important. I was reading somewhere the other day that in some Bibles, the whole book of Revelation has been removed. The whole book gone. Yeah, it's happening already. The whole book has gone. Why? No, it's because of this that all these Christians are resisting what is happening around. Because of the book of, get rid of the book of Revelation. So they don't have, you know, challenge vaccines and antichrist and get rid of it. Get your Bible. Amen? Get your Bible and keep it to yourself. That's more important than anything. Amen? You need this in your life. God took time to make sure that we have it. Let's make sure we keep it. Amen? I can't overstress that, really. I cannot overstress the importance of you having the Word. And don't just put it in a shelf somewhere. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Let it speak to you. Let it cut you. It's the sword of the Spirit. Sometimes it needs to cut. Oh well. One of the things the Lord told us about this year that we've been experiencing that seemed so odd was when God said it was the year of the woman. Do you remember that word? The Lord wants the women to take their place. And especially this Wednesday, I want the women to be in here. You need to take your place to begin to speak what God wants done. Hallelujah. It's extremely important. Because whenever God wants to do a new thing, He raises up women. And I showed you from the scriptures. a revelatory teacher of the Word of God, but the Word of God has to be proclaimed prophetically for the benefit of the whole. Let me read you something in Jeremiah 31. I did say to us at that time, God wants the women to take their place for a particular reason, to establish the men and the sons into their rightful place. Men are called to be warriors. And they need mothers of Zion to speak into their lives. God says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 22, it's an odd verse, because it really, when you read in Jeremiah 31, it doesn't seem like it correlates with anything. It just gets dumped in there, so to speak. But it is so correlated to everything. If you're reading with the eyes of the Spirit, with the mind of God, he says, how long will thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? In other words, the daughter that's not taking her rightful place. For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. hear the words of the Lord has, meaning done, created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. You see the word? A woman shall compass a man. A woman shall surround the man. Protect the man. Seems weird and strange, but it's God's strategy to discomfit the enemy. Women, please hear what I have to say to you right now by the Spirit of God. One of the things the Lord said to us is, God wants to use you as a woman, but don't be a what? A Jezebel. Do you remember me saying that? Okay. Because the enemy will want women to be Jezebelic. Oh, I forget that. Jezebelic. Oh, yeah, that's good. Don't be that. Don't speak death into the life of your husbands, your sons. Speak the life of God. That means not saying what the enemy tries to show to you, but say what God is saying. What do you want to see happen? You want a great man? Don't call him a stupid man. Hello? You want a strong man? Don't call him a weak man. Glory be to God. What do you want to see? Poverty and lack, or wealth and riches shall be in my house? What do you want? Do you want failure or victory? Understand that Sarah did not call Abraham Lord because Abraham was that great. She spoke what she needed to speak over the life of the husband so that the husband can become what she says. Your words are important, and God is needing the voice of his women so that his men can rise up. It's teamwork. The first persons to see the risen Lord, that touched the risen Lord, women. Because it was a new season. Hello? Before God spoke to Joseph about the birthing of his son, which was to be a new season, he spoke to Mary. Is that not so? Spoke to Manoah's wife first. Even the devil knew to speak to the woman first. Are you listening?
Yes.
Women, take your rightful place in God. A woman brought about the fall. A woman brought about the restoration of salvation. God wants you to take your rightful place. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In Psalm 86, Kikatobo Shandre Makaha. Verse 16 is a key verse that I want to get to, and verse 17, but let me start it from verse 11. Psalm 86, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name, unite my heart, put me together, so I walk in fear of your name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth thy iniquity is purged. Hallelujah. I believe it was two Sundays ago that the Lord was speaking to us about this mercy factor, that what he wants to do is not based on what we have engineered and brought about in our strength, but based on the mercy of God. It's by the mercy of God that I'm here, not based on all the things I've done or haven't done, but by the mercies of God. And God is plenteous in mercy and in truth. He is compassionate, he is gracious, he is long-suffering. But I want you to see this, verse 16. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. God, you're plenteous in mercy and in truth. Turn unto me. Give thy strength. Give thy what? Strength. unto thy servant. Give your servant strength and save the son of what? Save the son of thine handmaid. Handmaid is not a guy. Save the son of thine handmaid. The handmaid is busy crying unto you for mercy. God, have mercy. Father, have mercy. Show me a token for good. This is key. God, show me a token for good. Verse 17. That they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. God, show me a token for good. Why? That they which hate me may see it. Do something extraordinary in my life, so that those who hate me, those who want to disenfranchise me, those who want to set me aside as if I'm a nobody, will see it and be ashamed. Because you've helped me and you have comforted me. Hallelujah. You've given me strength. You've given strength to thy servant, and you've saved the son of thine handmaid. Praise the Lord. So we all need to play a role in what God wants to do by tying into what God is saying. I'm trying to prep us by the grace of God to position ourselves appropriately for what God wants to do. Normally, by this time, we should have started our Wednesday Bible studies. Every September, we do it. And I came to the saints and I said, you know what? No Bible studies. We're having all these special meetings. No Bible studies on Wednesdays. Wednesdays, nothing's going to happen. Needless to say, I didn't know God had his own agenda. So this Wednesday, we're going to gather. It's not going to be for Bible study, but to be the prophetic voice of our Father, declaring those things which are in heaven in the earth. Amen? It's crucial. Hallelujah. Why is it crucial? Because that's how God operates. In Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. There shall no strange God be in thee. Place your hand on your heart and on your belly and declare with me, no strange gods here. You cannot be here. There will not be any form of idolatry in my life. I will be a vessel that God will prophesy and declare through his divine will and purpose. Therefore, no strange gods in my life. Get out. If you are here, you leave now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's important. Because if you have strange gods in you, God will speak your damnation through your strange gods. It is the word of God. You don't inquire of God when you have strange gods in you. So I will speak to you through your gods and to your destruction. So we cannot afford to have strange gods in us. He says in verse 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Then what did he say there? Open thy mouth wide and I will what? If you've got strange gods, then you're going to be speaking the gobbledygook nonsense of those strange gods. Get rid of them. And I want you to know I am the one who delivered you. I'm the one who set you free. Now open your mouth wide. And I'll fill it with what? With my words. So you can do what? Prophesy. Now, this might look weird to your neighbor, but this is not about them. This might look weird to those of you who are watching online or on television, but this is not about you right now. This is about me and this is about you. Open your mouth wide. Just open it. And say, Lord, my mouth is open. Fill it. So I can prophesy. I receive your word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. It says, but my people will not hearken to my voice. I told them to open their mouths and they won't. And I'm certain there are some people who didn't open their mouths. When I said, open your mouth, I wasn't going to look at you. But if you didn't open your mouth, that's your business. Because he said, but my people, watch this, but my people, he didn't say some other people, he says my people who are called by my name. But my people will not hearken unto my voice, and Israel will none of me. They want anything to do with me. And we live in that kind of a world today where there are people who are not wanting anything to do with God. You have praise and worship leaders, big worship leaders and great ministers that have dropped their Bibles and dropped their instruments and say, I don't want anything to do with God anymore. And we think it's strange. Well, we're coming into the days where there is going to be a falling away. Because people have not learned how to connect with God, to hear Him and follow His instructions. Mama read us from the book of Jeremiah today about the two baskets. One was very good and one was very bad. Figs. Huh? And as we stepped into 2020 of 5780, the Lord gave us so many things. He said so many words to us. And there were times when the Lord was speaking that I wondered, God, how can it be this and be that at the same time? And said, because there's going to be separation. It's a time of separation. One moment he's saying, it's a year of open doors, and the next time he's saying, it's going to be shut doors. I said, which one is it? Open doors or shut doors? He says, no, they're going to be shut doors, but not for you. There's going to be separation, but I'm going to gather my people. We've gone through all kinds of stuff through the years. And you wonder, which way is it? The basket of good figs, basket of bad figs. From within the church, there is going to be a separation. The church that is the church is about to come alive. There might not be many in the terms of masses, but they will shine brighter. You're about to see the church like you've never seen the church. It's going to be very clear who is in it and who is out of it. I know the incredible thing about it. Just like bugs are attracted to light, the ungodly are going to come to the true church. The people that you think are nobodies, oh, this is a bunch of drug addicts and prostitutes, they're coming into the church. Because they're tired of the lies. And when they see the truth, they say, oh, I'm going to go for something, I stand for something. Hallelujah. It's going to be a major shift. There's a shaking coming. So the word of God says, so I gave them up into their own heart's lust. That's what you want? I'll give you up to it. And they walked in their own counsels. How is it that there are people, churches today, that don't even believe that Jesus is Lord? How is that possible? How is it possible that there are churches today that don't even really truly believe that this is the Word of God? What are you doing church for? They walked in their own counsels. Everybody's trying to live a life of purpose. I want to find my purpose. Listen. Listen. Are you listening? You only have one purpose. The purpose is God's purpose. Your own private agenda, your own private purpose is nonsense. You are fulfilled in following the directives of God, not your own finite mind. If you don't like that, tough. I'm trying to find my purpose. Jesus already told you what his purpose is. I came to destroy the works of the devil, and if you are a person of purpose and you are under his lordship, then you have only one purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Everything that you do is about making sure that whatever the devil is doing doesn't succeed. You're not going to cooperate with him. You're not going to cooperate with him in your marriage. You're not going to cooperate with him concerning your finances, your relationships. No, you stand for what God stands for. And you refuse to accept the lies of the enemy as gospel. And that's what so many people are doing. You know, whatever is just going through the pike. Oh, hallelujah, that must be true. No, it must be examined by the integrity of this Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I don't care what or who is against it, I refuse to bow down my knees to Baal. Amen? You know what? One of the worst things we did with COVID-19, with the coronavirus, I included, was that we shut down the church because of governmental laws. We should practice all the protection and the spacings and all of that. But if the Church of Jesus Christ has stood up and said, no, we're not doing that, because this does not line with what God called you to do for us to do the right thing. And this does not line up with that right thing, which is first and foremost to worship the only true God. If we stood up, every church standing up, how many of us will they throw in jail? When we're all standing up. But we just fell down so easily. I remember somebody called me and said, they're going to report you, you know, for having service. I said, I don't care about that. Report me for what? I'm going to have services. I'm not shutting the door of the church. Why should I do that? Because the government said, well, the government is a minister of God, but to help and to support what is right. So if it's not right, I'm not going to support that. Why am I going to support that? I'm not going to build my life based on the counsel of men. What does God's word say? I'll act wisely. So there's a disease. I believe the word of God. That's true. But I also make certain that if you say it's 6 feet, we have 6 feet. But I'm not going to shut the doors of the church. If the 6 feet means 6 feet in the parking lot, also, I should have done that. But we just fold so easily. And the world system knows that. And therefore, they will try another thing. My prayer is that as the people of God, that we are so fervent in our faith, in our commitment to God, that we know how to say, no, not right. You don't have that right. Well, we're going to take your tax number away from you. Take it. I didn't start giving because of your tax refund. I don't care about that. I'm here to live my life unto God. And as sons and daughters of the living God, we must be radical in our faith. For good, not for bad. Somebody listening? God says, I gave them up to their own lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Because you did not stand for something and open your mouth, I couldn't stand for you. I couldn't fight for you. But God says, if you had just done that, you would have seen my power in operation. Amen. We need need a people that are standing for purpose and recognizing that the devil is not on the throne. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he is the one on the throne, and it's to him and to him alone that I bow my knees. My tongue will confess that he is Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. The devil's a liar. Wanting me to compromise to what? When we are committed to the purposes of God, the kingdom of God comes, and God's will is done here in the earth as it is in heaven. He didn't call us to flow with the flow. Now, if you're going to spawn, sometimes you got to go against the tide. Christianity is not about doing the same thing as the world. We're very counterculture. We've got to understand that. The world wants to counsel people. You know, we're living in a council culture. No, but I need to understand that I am counterculture. I'm here to be light in a world that is full of darkness. I'm here to be a conduit for healing, not to accept sickness and disease. I'm here to declare prosperity in the midst of famine. Oh, Pastor, you know, people are suffering, people are unemployed. You know, we should not be talking about giving. Oh? When should we be talking about it? If there was ever a time for us to give, it is right now. To give unto the Lord all the praise, all the worship, all the adoration, commit unto him that which is in our hands. God says, I soon should have subdued their enemies, whatever those enemies are, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey. Out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Should I? In other words, this is what I would have done, but I couldn't. Why couldn't I? Because you did not open your mouth. And God is calling us this Wednesday to open our mouths. I'm going to come in here, I'm going to open my mouth, and I'm going to prophesy and declare the purposes of God. Some of the things that may come out of my mouth may sound crazy and out of place. Oh, but God says, I'm going to match you and do exceedingly far beyond that which you dare ask or think. According to that power that worketh in you, which is the power of his word in my mouth. My mouth shall be open. He said, don't worry about, or they're going to drag you to court. He said, but don't worry about what you're going to say. Just open your mouth and see what's going to happen. They're going to be dumbfounded by the wisdom that's coming out of your mouth. You're going to be saying things that's just going to be just knocking them this way and that way. But that's not all that God is saying. Because we're living in the days that we're going to stand before judges and say, I dare you to use that gavel and make a wrong judgment because your hand will not strike that thing before you're dead. Do it. Okay, go home. I don't want any trouble. The first one that tries it and drops dead will be a signal that they must not do anything contrary to what the Word of God says. God wants men and women that will stand up. Say, I am on God's side. Hallelujah. 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 In Psalm 103 in verse 20, Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. That do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now, that verse is, yes, addressing angels, but God, in another way, is addressing us as the angels of the Lord, the messengers of God. In the book of Revelation, when the Bible talks about the angel that's over the church of Laodicea or Philadelphia, it's not just talking about an angel, it's talking about the angel, that man, that point man, that point woman that God has raised up and placed in that house. There are angels that are sent to minister unto us. Angelic forces. Hallelujah. But there's another dimension where God gives us that same strength. Did we not just read just a moment ago in Psalm 86 and verse 16, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Give your strength. Well, that same strength has been released to us as God's people. In Psalm 103 and verse 20, yes, we've got the angelic beings, but also God is speaking that same strength. Those of us that excel in the strength of God because we've experienced the mercies of God. That do his commandments. If you love me, do my commandments. Hallelujah. The angels listen to the commands of God. So that the will of God in heaven is done in the earth. How is the will of God in the heavens done in the earth? Because there's a prophetic word, and the angels above listen to that prophetic statement. The word of God, they come. When they hear the word of God, they are energized to fulfill and bring to pass what God is already saying and that which you are saying in agreement with what God is saying. And this Wednesday, we are going to join together and begin to release into the heavens the commands of God. There must be a shift for our good. And for the demise of the forces of darkness. One of the things the Lord said to us was that he was going to separate. This was going to be a year of separation. That there are things that are going to be happening to the world that's not going to happen to us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Who are these ministers of his that do his pleasure? These ministers that are walking the walk of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But they that come to God must believe, first and foremost, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently, fervently seek him. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 51, beginning to read from verse 12. I am he that comforted you. Who art thou that thou should be afraid of man that shall die, and of the Son of Man we shall be made as grass? Who are you? Being afraid of man. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. Watch this. And has forgotten the Lord thy Maker that stretcheth forth the heavens, yes, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. As if he were ready to destroy. You're so afraid of the oppressor as if he were ready to destroy. That's only in your mind. And where is the fury of the oppressor anyway? So afraid of the oppressor. Where's the fury of the oppressor? Listen to the next verse. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed. That is worry. That's what it's concerned about. 15. But I'm the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. 16. And I have what? Put my words in thy mouth, and have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may do what? Plant the heavens and what? Lay the foundations of the earth. I thought he did it already. Already he said, I've stretched out the heavens and I laid the foundations of the earth. So why is he putting his words in my mouth and covering me? So that which God has done in the heavens can now be done in the earth. That's why. God's will is not going to be done in the earth until you and I begin to say what God said. I put my words in thy mouth. Open your mouths wide so I can fill it. And I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand. We'll come back to Isaiah 51 and verse 16, but let's look at Psalm 91 for a quick moment. The shadow of mine hand. Psalm 91 and verse 1 says what? He that dwelleth in the secret place. I don't know what's happening with my mic today. In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And watch verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I will say. That's how you abide. You got to prophesy it. You got to say what God said. Well, because God said it is just going to happen. No, God already told you it's not just going to happen. I could have done this, but you didn't give me the word. Same word, homologia, saying the same thing. I need you to say what I said. And when you say what I said already, bam, it happens. You don't say what I'm saying, it's not going to happen. Two positive wires will not give you power, electrical power, to have that light. Negative is not always bad. God needs a reflection. You know, in those days, you know, some people don't know what a negative is, you know, when it comes to pictures, because you just click with your little whatever computer, plink, 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 plink. But you needed a negative. And the negative is developed in a dark room. True? And then you get the positive. Starts with positive to negative, back to positive. Well, God needs your mouth to begin to pump out what he needs to pump out in the earth. You don't say it, this isn't going to happen. Well, I thought God said it, but did you say what God said? That's the important thing. Paul says, Timothy, fight a good fight, war, to get what you need to get based on the prophetic word that's been spoken over upon your life. You take that word, this is what God said, and you begin to say it back to God. That's how the account is put in order. A few years ago, I did a teaching about iniquities. Remember that? And I said to us that I use an illustration about sin or confession being the key factor of receiving the promises of God. And I use a credit card to exemplify what I was talking about. If Bank of Montreal, Bank of Scotia Bank, or whichever bank you deal with, sends you a credit card, you can just take that credit card and use it and get the resources available to you without first of all certifying that credit card. And the way you certify it is by calling that number of the institution that gave you that card. You call them and they confirm that you are the recipient of that card and it is okayed and now you can use it. Now, the other thing that they do more recently is now that they say, okay, we've already certified you to go to a merchant, but originally you have to call them first. True? Years ago. Okay. But now they are already, you've already had a relationship with them, and now it's done. Especially if you, watch this. This is the key factor. If you're a first-time user, you are not automatically certified. But if they are replacing your card, If they're replacing the card that you already have, now you can use it and it's already pre-certified. But your starting point, you got to certify it. Make sense? Okay. Now, if you're a constant ruler, you don't have to go do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But what God wants us to do, for every word, because he's doing a new thing. Amen? He's doing a new thing. He's calling us to that place where we open our mouths and begin to prophesy in agreement with his will, with his word. And begin to enforce, because we agree with that word, we begin to enforce it in the earth realm as a done deal, because we know confidently that God has already backed us. I am backed. Amen? I have a backing. Praise the Lord. So Isaiah 51 verse 16 again. I've put my words in thy mouth, and I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. Why? That I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. And do what? Say unto Zion, Zion being his people, thou art my people. You are my people. You're certified. And I'm going to back you. Hallelujah. I am going to do what? Back you. I'm going to back you up. And you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It says, lo, I shall be with you always, even unto the end of the ages. God is going to back you. God is going to back me. Amen? And we're going to come together under his lordship and declare his divine purpose done. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because if we don't do that, the consequence is that we'll die like everybody else. So I conclude with this passage of scripture. Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. That's powerful. He judgeth among the gods. Who do you think he's talking about? He's talking about us. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. That's what God says we are. We are the mighty. And he judgeth among the gods. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Were you created in the image of a donkey? In the image and likeness of whom? The same God who says he gives, goats should give birth to goats. Dogs give birth to dogs. God gives birth to himself. Amen? We are not the capital G, O-D. But we are the small G-O-D. If we allow God to speak to and through us. Amen? Hallelujah. But if we don't take our rightful place and judge righteously, deal with things righteously, he ends up saying, you might be gods, but you're going to die like man. Let me read it. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. And it says, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. The foundations were supposedly placed there by the words of agreement with God. And now it's out of course. Things are falling apart. If things are falling apart in the world, guess where the problem is? It's in the church. We are not doing our part. And we've got to change that now. Not tomorrow, now. He says, verse 6, I have said, God said, I have said, ye are what? Gods. And then he says, and all of you are children of the what? Most High. But because you're not agreeing with my words of justice, my will in heaven being done in the earth, he says, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. What prince is he talking about? He's talking about the principalities, the powers of darkness that did not want to subdue themselves in worship to the only true God, but wanted to be equal with God. Moving from the position that God placed them in. And the reverse is the same. You removing yourself from the position that God placed you in is an act of rebellion. If God says, ye are gods, and you're not moving in your godness, you are in rebellion. Hello? Rebellion. It's not just pride and arrogance. Rebellion is also false humility. Be what God says you are. And if God is calling women to speak prophetically and stand with their men, stand by your men. Oh, glory. Then do that. Glory be to God. Let's just be what God says we are. Hallelujah. This Wednesday, we're going to be gathered together and we are going to declare war on the devil's war and shut that sucker up, recognizing that there is only one God who reigns supreme over all. He is our God. He is our Father, and He's Lord over our lives. And at the mention of His name, every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess that He is Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give a good clap offering unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God.